Death Curse Society. Horror news, commentary, reviews, and a sadistic slash of humor. Featuring your host, Red Crank, the Colonel, and Zigzag. Join the society. Yeah, oh, in the optic glass. And woo! Welcome to another Death Curse Society, ladies and gentlemen. We're in the middle of March Madness. Spring has sprung, and we got a lot of horror shit to talk to you about. I'm Red Crank, I got the Colonel, and Zigzag. Don't forget, if you like this show and you like this channel, make sure to subscribe on YouTube. Follow us on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And you can also follow us on Twitch now, but before we get to all the good stuff that we're getting ready to talk about, first, we got one thing to do. Somebody grab the tent and let's go camping.
Okay, you big hunk of a man, come and get me.
For Let's Go Camping this time around, we got a chance to check out the new film from Shudder, Slacks. That's with two X's, you know, XX at the end. Slacks. Yeah. Okay, yeah. It's about a pair of possessed pants that go on a killing spree inside of a trendy clothing store while some of the employees are trying to get ready for a big sale the next day. Ziggy, you want to start with this one? Because I'm trying to be nice right now. Ziggy, Slacks.
Sure, you can start with me because I was completely prepared to shit all over this movie and wipe my ass with each leg of the slacks. But nay, I was actually entertained by Slacks. It never, ever, ever takes itself seriously, not one bit. These characters are like commercial characters. They play it to the hilt, and it's that's kind of what I wanted. Remember when we were talking about that American Psycho comparison, the yuppies and shit like that? This is what they did, and it works. It was funny. It's more funny than scary, obviously. It's killer pants, but there's this backstory on it, why the pants are killing, and a couple of creepy mannequin scenes actually that I thought were pretty effective too. So I mean, but this is not as, there is way worse shit out there than Slacks. I'm telling you, it's not as bad as you would think.
Okay, well, Ziggy is clearly high. Colonel, what were your initial thoughts?
My initial thoughts on Slacks. Sorry, I had to say it like that at least once.
At least.
So okay, Slacks twice. Man, if you guys remember, I was like, this movie's going to be completely dumb or so dumb it's good. This was actually kind of entertaining. I'm not going to say it's the best movie I ever saw. I'm not going to say it's well written because it wasn't even well acted. But you can't take a movie about killer denim jeans too serious. And I'll be honest, the over-the-top gore, when you had it, made it fucking worth it. But yes, the acting was fucking very they play the roles perfect. That they did, but boy, I've seen better acting in community theater.
All right. I guess I can't be nice anymore. This is one of the worst movies I've ever fucking seen. From the ridiculous idea that pants are possessed and killing people, to the unfunny, over-dramatized characters, to finally the underlying social messages. Give me a fucking break, guys. I was worried that this movie couldn't work when we saw the trailer. And I was absolutely right, in my opinion, at least. Obviously, these guys feel differently for some fucking reason. I don't quite get it, but we'll get into that. There may be an audience for this film. I'm not knocking that. But the audience for this are entitled little shits that work in retail stores that CCC is supposed to be parroting. That's the Canadian Clothing Co-op or whatever the fuck the place is called. It's kind of a playoff on The Gap, on Old Navy. They have ecosystems. Each department is an ecosystem because they're trendy. Ooh, ooh la la. They're eco-friendly. They're no GMOs in their pants. Okay, whatever. Some of this I don't even get. This did not catch me at all. I've never worked in retail. I'm not a fashionista, clearly. Is that a knock against myself? I don't know. But yeah, worst movie, one of, that I've seen in a... Well, no, it is the worst movie I've seen in a long time. And that's saying something, because we got another one to review later that... Let me ask you this. Were there any characters that you actually liked in this movie? Because none of them. I hated them all. I wanted them all to die, but I wanted to climb into the store myself and kill them. Colonel?
Of course, there's one character I absolutely love in this fucking movie. I have someone to connect with. And, you know, it's sad enough. I kind of connected with a pair of killer jeans. The rest of the cast, I get two shits in a fuck about them. Literally two shits in a fuck I could give. But no, because you said it best. You know, I said the acting wasn't great. Every character was a stereotype. Played to the, turned them up to 11, but not in a good way. It was just loud for loud's sake. So the fucking slacks. I was all for them. Do what you need to do. Granted, they lost me with the Bollywood dancing scene, but it's still my favorite character. I mean, that pair of slacks has, or had, I guess we should say, a future in a leadership role, because they organize quickly.
The whole theme of this entire movie is hypocrisy. Mm-hmm. And it's glorious this way, because these guys believe they'll die, for literally die or kill for this cause, to be part of this fucking machine that is CCC. We talked about Velvet Buzzsaw and going with the American Psycho thing with the yuppies. I mean, this is that kind of movie. And I guess I'm a fan, man. I mean, this I like seeing these kind of people getting fucked with, albeit, you know, it is way over the top. I mean, this is like some video game type takes on these characters. See them get taken out, and they do, but they're still trying to hold their position, keep their sections alive. You know, there's a joke made about how the girl shows up. She's so excited. She's a new hire to work there. And they're like, he's like, You're everyone needs to wear CCC, this and that outfits. And then she's like, I am. He's like, that was 3 months ago. You have to stay current.
That was 1 month ago, but it was three seasons.
Three seasons in 1 month. Yes. Yeah. Obviously, we're not in the whole fashion thing, but you can go into any of these stores. You've probably wandered into a mall around Christmas time and encountered watered down versions of what these people are. So you can relate to it that way. And like I said, there's far worse out there, and there's some laughs here. And for the gore hounds, you have mostly, probably 80% practical effects, some CGI mixed in there, but it's pretty good when they do pay off, and again, over the top. So that's always good with gore. I'm sorry, man. I wanted to hate this movie, and I just can't, because it was okay. It was decent watch, something to probably never see again, but I don't hate myself for watching it. I don't feel like I wasted my time.
I left something out of my description of the audience that this film might fit a little better. And that is, it's for the group, the younger group, that likes to label older folks as boomers. And they think that's funny. They think that's cute. They think that's showing some kind of awareness of the community and of society. It's not. It's just a bullshit, dumb fucking label that for some reason people get stuck with. If you want to use it, fine. If you don't want to use it, fine. But that's the audience that this is going for. If you think the term boomer is funny, you might think this movie is funny. But I got the humor. I just didn't like it. I thought it was flat. I thought it was stupid. I thought it was dumb. Even as much as you like to try to compare it to American Psycho and Velvet Buzzsaw, remember, I didn't like American Psycho the first time I saw it. It took me a few views to get into. I'm not giving Slacks a third option to try this, but it took me a couple of views to get into American Psycho. I love that movie now. I get that movie now. Velvet Buzzsaw, I enjoyed that from the first viewing. I thought it was cleverly done. It was so tongue-in-cheek. This is not tongue-in-cheek. This is almost like they ripped the cheek off and the tongue is just flapping around in the wind out there. And that, it does not work for me. Let me ask you guys this. At first, when I saw the poster and I saw the design on the back of the slacks, again, I thought this was going to be some sort of Nazi throwback because of the symbol. It's got, like, literally, it's got an SS symbol almost on it. Did you think that's where we were going? And were you disappointed that's not where we went with these? Ziggy.
I thought, oh, okay, it looks like an SS, but we don't go near it. You don't go near that the whole movie. I don't know. Do you want to call the owner of CCC the kind of pseudo-Hitler?
I mean, he could have been. Yeah, there you go. There's a little bit of a tie. He was kind of Hitler-esque. You solved my problem there. Colonel, do you agree with that?
No. I saw a logo. I didn't make any connections to the Nazis in any way, shape, or form. Like I said, this film was directed by an Indian woman in Canada, has Indian influence. I haven't done research. Mm-hmm. I can only assume maybe that symbol has some kind of power in the Indian culture. Because, I mean, let's be honest, the swastika was around for thousands of years and didn't get vilified until the Nazis started using it. It's all about symbolism. Obviously, you're going to see a swastika now because that's what it is.
Right.
But, you know, so the Germans weren't the first ones to use it. I can see the comparison where you guys saw that. It just never crossed my mind. Again, like I said, did no research. I can only assume that symbol has something to do in Indian culture.
Well, for me, yeah, maybe, you know, but I just seeing it, automatically, you know, as you start to analyze the films, you're looking at the possible branches or paths that it might take. And sure, that came up in my mind briefly. But again, it doesn't really, outside of what we mentioned with the head honcho there, there's not much there.
I'm not saying you guys are wrong. I'm just saying, yeah. I didn't agree. I didn't see it. That did not cross my mind. That's all.
I'm glad. I guess there's no Nazi crap connected to it. So,
well, I don't think it would have worked, really.
Right.
Not with at least the story this ended up trying to tell. All right, Ziggy's already brought it up a little bit, and I've mentioned it too. The humor did not work for me. It obviously worked for you guys in ways. Tell me why, Ziggy.
I see people like this in the world. I've been a people watcher my entire life, so I recognize patterns and stuff like that, and the people, the followers, and people that want to be something like that. Just about they play on themselves. You know, again, with the whole three seasons in 1 month of different clothes that are coming out, and we got to be right on them. And if you're not current, you're not playing part of the team. They have a slogan they all they live and die by. You know, it's just those jokes like that. They're not the funniest jokes, but they work. They're simple. This is the simplistic horror kind of. It's not even meant to be comedy. It's just poking fun at that world.
Colonel, I guess it worked for you as well. Tell me why. Well, you were.
That's a good question, because I wouldn't say I found the movie humorous. I mean, it was, but it's not because they wanted it to be. It just was over the top. I mean, I worked in retail, starting off my working career in retail. So I kind of know these people. I kind of know Grant was never clothing, because again, I may be a fashion icon, but I'm not fashionable. I know how it is when the store's closed and you got something new coming out. They try to hype you up about the new product. I mean, that I mean, they definitely did this when, like, say, when I worked at GameStop, unfortunately, worked for that shitty company when I was in college. But for part of my college career, worst retail experience. That was the last retail job I think I ever fucking had. But, you know, we have the midnight release for these big games coming out. And, you know, you had to stay over late. You have to put up all the signage real quick and get ready. You got a line outside. You open it up. People come in and get their new Halo game. So I was able to relate to it a little bit more, obviously, than, say, Crank, because you never had to go through some shit like that.
Well,
it didn't make the movie funny, but it was funny, just unintentionally funny in a bad way.
If places like The Gap have ecosystems and the earpieces that they're all wearing now, I know, like, the kids in Old Navy wear this shit. That, fine.
Oh, it's pretentious as the day is long. I mean,
yeah, and I got the pretentiousness, and I got the theme of, you know, corporate greed and how all the corporations are just lying to you with their slogans and their catchphrases and their mission statements just to make a few extra bucks. I get that, but it just didn't, the fucking humor didn't work for me. And I kind of wanted it to, but it just didn't.
They got a big fashion social influencer that she's the worst of them all as far as her attitude and her demeanor, how she carries herself. You know, I mean, it's just a big slap on that whole fucking world. And I'll take it for what it is with that. And I'm going to leave it at that. I'm good with it. And by the way, Colonel, this guy here, you could go into any GameStop across America. That's what you're going to see behind the counter. There he is, folks. Mr. GameStop. I just thought that right away. I was like, oh, my God. Like, I've literally every GameStop I've gone into, there's been a character that has been similar to our friend the Colonel here. And I did a slam. It's just like this. I don't know why. It just is.
He's a big part of this. When I worked at GameStop, I didn't look like this. I was younger. I kept cleaned up, trimmed, hairstyle, fashion.
I see in the pictures. You see, your sister has been very good with this sharing the old picture.
Oh, yeah.
Love the old Raven picture. Colonel, before the bearded menace began.
Oh, I love the old pictures, though.
Yes.
We're going to get into the spoilers a little bit. Was the reasoning behind why the pants were possessed that was given adequate to you to sell this film? And then the the fact that they could talk to the pants and reason with it at the end, Colonel? I mean, come on. You got
again, we're talking about a movie about a pair of killer pants.
Right.
The reasoning behind it was so, I want to say dumb, but I know, I mean, they were really trying to sell a point to you here. And that sell just did not work for me, unfortunately. That's enough for her to fucking come back and want to kill all these people. As a workplace fucking accident, happens every fucking day. I'm sure OSHA came in and cleaned the shit up afterwards. That's just so unnecessarily dumb. Because I'm pretty sure the synopsis said, like, demonic or something. Because so I read the word demonic, or maybe my mind just said, okay, demonic pants. Hell yeah. And I'm like, oh, it's a 13-year-old girl from India that fell in a cotton gin. And again, I know it's about human rights and this, and I shouldn't be making light of it, but damn it. They should have made it a stronger message if that's the message they're trying to get across.
It's a simple line. It's A to B. They connect an accident to the corporation, and she wants to be recognized and remembered. That's what this spirit wants. It's that simple. Spoil, sorry. Yeah, that's it. But that's all she wants. But they just can't seem to get it right. The desire to be regional manager outweighs the recognition of a dead 13 Indian girl that fell in a cotton gin. That's kind of what they left us with. You knew going in, it was about killer pants. So you had to just know that no matter what they were going to throw at you, I was just like, I literally sat and said, bring it on. I'm ready. Let me see what you got. And there could have been better ways to do it. Sure. There could have been worse ways. I'm sure they just went simple. It's an explanation. It's a bow. It ties it up. There you go. You know, but yeah, it didn't weigh heavy on me or anything like that. So no.
All right. I feel like you guys are scolding me by repeating. It's about a pair of killer pants. It's a movie about killer pants.
And I just, that was my, you know, going in. I just was like, that was the big sign on the wall. I was like, okay, this is a movie about killer pants. I was like, yes, it is. Let's watch it.
And I knew going in, I wasn't probably going to enjoy this. I tried to block that from my mind and give it an open look, but no.
I'm with you. I thought the same thing. I was like, this is going to, fuck. How did this get on the list? But I get it. So
you mentioned the effects. What was your favorite kill, Colonel?
Oh, it was easy. It was the gay Asian guy. That was the money shot for me for this movie. Because it's where the best gore. Over the top, not very realistic looking, but it was the best. Just unfortunately, I had about 30 minutes of movie left after that scene.
Oh, God.
I'm with Colonel, man. That was the one. The most blood. That's where they brought the big barrel full of blood in for that scene. And, it was good. I was laughing during that, too. I was entertained by it. So I was wanting something. But, again, I was rooting for all these fuckers to get taken out in the most horrible ways. Just the pants. They drink blood. The pants do.
Can we talk about that, too? Why do the pants need to drink the blood? And why does the blood fill in the little logo? What happens if the logo gets completely filled in? Does it win?
It levels up. It's boosting itself.
I did think that was kind of stupid. It was like, okay, well, let's drink blood. And when they explain why the pants are the way they are, it's like that still doesn't connect.
No.
There's no connection there.
There's a broken blood. Link. There's a broken link. It's just they had to have something going on. But, we don't find out why a little red hash mark appears on the jeans after sucking up someone's blood. A movie about
that's it. It wasn't a logo. It wasn't even a fucking, the double SS. It's literally a life meter. This is filling up their life bar. I don't know.
You guys have figured it out. I'm just going to leave it at that. Let's rate it. I'm not looking forward to rating this. Ziggy, what do you think? Rate Slacks.
I mean, this had 3 or 2 written all over it, but fuck, it's coming out of it, man. I found myself entertained and reflected on a couple of bits of it, and I was like, we've seen much, much worse this year already.
No!
Having said that,
I haven't.
Slacks, from me, is getting a 6.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
I'm going to throw up, guys. Colonel.
Slacks, a movie about killer pants. Like I said, it's more entertaining than I thought it was going to be. I'm going to give it a 5.5. It's worth a watch. Like I said, the gore is the selling point for me. It's a movie about killer pants, man. I mean, I can't give it a too serious of a score because it wasn't too serious of a movie.
Yeah, I'm getting the finger wag. I feel it. Trust me. It's hitting. It hits me every time. We've never talked about this, but we are rating from 0 to 10, correct?
Yes.
A scale of 0 to 10. So I can use 0, correct?
You can, but goddamn, dude, if you give this a 0, we got Fantasy Island fly higher than this.
What the hell, dude?
I was more entertained by Fantasy Island than what I give Fantasy Island a 2.
All previous scores.
I think it was like a 2. It was pretty low.
I was more entertained by Fantasy Island than this. I loathed this movie. Loathe. I still loathe it because I'm thinking about it right now and I don't want to be. I want to spend my days doing something more than this. God damn it. I won't give it a 0, but it's not getting a 2. I'm giving this a 1. This sucked. This fucking sucked. Again, there's an audience out there for this, obviously. These guys like it. Not sure why. Well, I know he's stoned, but the other one, I don't understand. But this was definitely not a movie for me to watch. This movie sucks. That's all I can tell you. You guys, I'm glad you enjoyed it. I'm glad somebody had something nice to say about it. Fuck Slacks.
Clearly, you're out of your ecosystem.
Man, I've got your Slacks in a bunch today.
Hey, enough of this shit. No. We're going to wrap this up. I'm just happy to say it's spring now, and I'm going to be wearing shorts and not slacks, so I won't have to think about this fucking movie ever again until I have to promote it to tell you guys that we put it out on this video. And then I have to think about it again. And oh my God. Oh fuck. That's gonna wrap it up for Let's Go Camping. Fuck Slacks. You can watch it on Shudder. It's available now. Bye.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to Monday Maniacs from Death Curse Society. We're gonna take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Stick around.
Everybody's on social media these days. Well, Death Curse Society is too. Look for us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And also, don't forget to look for us on YouTube. We drop videos on there all the damn time, and you don't want to miss it. It's good stuff. Death Curse Society. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Woo!
The Death Curse Society has just become an associate producer on the film.
Yes.
Woo! Bravo! Bravo. Death Curse Society, guys, is so awesome. I met the guys, all three of the guys, at Indianapolis last year for Horror Hack. And I met those dudes, and I got to tell you, like, I hung out with them. We took pictures. I signed some stuff. They gave me a T-shirt. It was awesome. They are awesome, guys. So super cool. I am so glad to have them on board this campaign and also on board the film. And now they are going to be IMDb credited as producers on this movie.
Oh, hi. I didn't see you there. I'm TV's Drew Scheid, and you're watching Death Curse Society.
Oh, yeah, gang. The campfire is boiling over right now, and it's time to get into some cool shit, if you know what I'm talking about. It's time for some stories around the campfire. So, we just checked out the trailer for Violation, which is dropping on Shudder today, March 25th. Oh, boy. Colonel, what do you feel about this?
Oh. You know, honestly, I really don't know how I fucking feel about this. Because the trailer leads me to believe it's going to be a gut-wrenching experience and horror. I just saw four English friends holidaying in the woods yelling at each other and a dog. Yeah. So apparently it's going to be really fucking scary. The trailer doesn't give you anything to believe that's going to be really fucking scary. And apparently somebody's reality is off, but let's be honest, everybody's reality is different from everybody else's reality. So it's, yeah, we'll bring it on. We'll see. I don't fucking know.
Violation tells the tale of a troubled woman on the edge of divorce returns home to her younger sister after years apart. But when her sister and brother-in-law betray her trust, she embarks on a vicious crusade of revenge. I didn't get that from the trailer. I'm getting a strong kind of rape revenge vibe from this. Last House on the Left kind of thing. That's kind of where I'm leaning. There's something like that going on. Ziggy, what did you think of this trailer?
It's almost like they got the wrong synopsis for the actual trailer. I mean, it doesn't match at all, but the thing that stuck out to me is, once again, scariest movie of the year, nightmare stays with you in waking, never seen stuff like this. This is going to be the scariest movie of all time. Oh, so-and-so says this is great. We all know what that means. That's the biggest pitfall of them all. I lowered my expectations quite a bit, and then that trailer, yeah, it gives you nothing. There's nothing there. Hopefully I'm wrong. We'll see. It doesn't look like a Slacks to me, though.
I will say this. If this is a rape revenge fantasy kind of film, I want horrific acts of cruelty captured on camera. I want brutality. I want to be gut punched like they say I'm going to be. I don't expect it, but I want it. I want a woman gone mad that's going to raise hell and take names. I want balls to the wall, grindhouse, fucking insanity. That's what I want. If it doesn't deliver that, then I will be sorely disappointed. The trailer doesn't really tell you a whole lot. It's just a bunch of people bickering out in the woods, and the bickering escalates to a screaming match. People looking down at the ground unexpectedly, it seems like. Colonel, help me.
I can't help you. There is no help. If they're looking at the ground unexpectedly, maybe it's just the success of this film. There it is. Who knows?
Thank you. That's exactly what I was looking for right there. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that's why he's the colonel. I couldn't throw it to Ziggy like that.
You know, we bitch about movies giving the story away and everything. They have not done that here. Hopefully that's for the best. But boy, usually they give you at least a morsel, something to grab onto. There's just nothing there.
Right.
A bunch of words that say how disturbing this is going to be. Been there.
It is a Sundance Film Festival film, so if that tells you anything. There you go, gang. Now you've seen the trailer for Violation. We've seen the trailer for Violation. We should know exactly what we're looking for on Thursday. But we don't. Severe disappointment is what we're expecting. Let us know we're wrong. Please. We don't mind being told we're wrong.
Yeah.
At all.
But tell us fucking why we're wrong, though. You can't just say we're wrong.
Yeah, tell us why. And let's see if we can find some kind of common ground. Violation, it comes out on Shudder Thursday. Check it out. Let us know what you think. Welcome back, gang. It's time for some more stories around the campfire.
I don't want to scare anyone. But I'm going to give it to you straight about Jason.
Hey, come back.
What is there to say about this? It's an award-winning film. It's been traveling the festival circuits for the last couple of years. People are raving about this movie. And we finally get to see it. And I couldn't wait. It's called Coco Day. It's from Sweden. Holy fuck. What the fuck happened? What is this? The trailer was confusing enough. What the fuck is this? Guys, Ziggy, what the fuck? What?
It was 5 in the morning, and I don't even think I got past the production company logo, dude, and I was gone. So this one, I humbly bow to you two experts to give us your vivid synopsis of this. So go right ahead.
Oh, boy. All righty then, Colonel. What the fuck was that?
I'm still trying to figure that out. okay, just... hang with me here. I'm not even going to try to keep the spoilers quiet on this one. Just like still try to wrap my brain around what the fuck I watched for 80 fucking minutes. Okay, so it starts off vacationing. Girl gets picked out a music box for a birthday present. Her mom has allergic reaction. Apparently at 8 years old, you still suffer from SIDS. And she just dies in the hospital bed. That's it. 3 years later, it didn't really fucking matter because I just know it's 80 minutes of my life I'll never fucking get back. They go camping. And you get these weirdos from this fucking musical box with a dog that apparently loves to lick up piss. An old guy likes dudes get shot in the dick.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Like,
yeah.
It wasn't 5 in the morning when I watched this fucker. It was like literally like 9 o'clock at night. I was still wide awake. And I'm watching this movie. And there's literally, you know, sometimes you're driving, blackout. And you're like, whoa, how the fuck did I get here? That's how I was watching that fucking movie. Like, I was watching it. Intent. Next thing I'm like, what the fuck? I don't remember what the fuck just happened. It's like I was running through the woods in fucking Sweden with these motherfuckers carrying a dead dog. That ending, is that how they break the fucking Groundhog Day cycle? They're the ones that have to run over this fucking dog. Again, what's this dude's fascination with this dog licking up fucking piss?
I'm
trying to get this dog, pardon my language, to eat this fucking chick out. Like, he's so adamant about that happening. It's like, what the fuck? Like, literally, look, this is an award-winning fucking film.
I love the look on Ziggy's face while you're describing this dog, especially like this dog is just licking up piss and wanting to eat this chick out. And he's like, maybe I need to watch this movie.
No, you don't. You do not need to watch it. Again, it's just fucking, I'm all for fucking weird films. But it's like, this movie was weird for weird sake. They're like, let's see how weird of a movie we can fucking make.
Yeah.
And somehow people are like, oh, this is brilliant. The art.
Oh, come the fuck on. No.
No, like the one highlight, there's like two highlights in this movie for me. One, the dude's name is Tobias. Anybody knows me, one of my favorite bands is from Sweden, the lead singer, creator. His first name's Tobias. I'm like, that's cool. And number two, I was like, hey, they drive on the left side of the car just like we do. Other than that, the movie is complete and utter fucking shit. Okay, Crank fucking hated Slacks. This is the dumbest movie he's ever fucking seen. This was the dumbest movie I ever fucking seen.
Good. We found some common ground then, in a way. Yeah, man, we kind of predicted at least one of these films in this group was going to be bad that Shudder was releasing. This was another one, though. In my opinion, the second in the slump run. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to cancel my goddamn Shudder subscription. I keep seeing these people that are reviewing and commenting on Shudder say, oh, yeah, I'm done with Shudder after seeing shit like Slacks and this. Oh, no, I'm done with Shudder. I'm like, really? Fuck you. Well, you know, one bad movie does not mean you need to cancel your entire fucking subscription.
Those people are stupid as shit.
Right.
I enjoy, bad or not, it's a new experience. I never would have watched this fucking movie if it wasn't for Shudder.
Exactly. When I saw the trailer for this, I knew I was going in confused. What I did not expect was to finish the movie and still be confused. And not in a good way. You two especially know I'm kind of a David Lynch fan. I like a lot of his movies. So I like weird. I don't mind weird. But this, no, it's uncomfortably weird. And that did not work for me. There's not a whole lot of explanation with this one. And it's left up to a lot of interpretation. I get the theme that this movie is about grief and dealing with grief. Did you take that away, Colonel?
To an extent, but fuck, it loosely about grief. It was hard for me to keep my concentration on this fucking film. Just being completely honest with you guys and the people watching. Mm-hmm. It was just that bad for me. You know, I felt like fucking motherfucker in Clockwork Orange. I had to hold my eyeballs up like this, keep me fucking concentrating on it.
I was able to take that away from it. I knew it was about grief, but I wish Ziggy would have watched this too so he could prove my point a little bit more. I bet each one of us found like a different interpretation from the movie, but still based around grief in some way. And I think all three of us would have found something completely different from it. I will explain what I mean by that. And spoilers galore here. Just a warning. Not that we haven't already spoiled it, but you know, fuck you. You guys know what's going on. For example, I believe when Maya dies, the parents are trapped in this time loop because the music box that was going to be a gift to her in the beginning of the movie, we clearly see the antagonist on the side. And I think that is Maya playing the box, making them go through this circular hell. Because the song they hear from the antagonist in this, I think that's also why a lot of the cinematography in the last hour or so of the film is shot from the back seat. Because it's Maya's perspective where she would be if she was still there. And you see them driving down the road and you just see the two silhouettes, basically, of the main characters. For some reason, Maya is doing this. That just makes it even weirder to me. I think that's why the camera work is shaky when they're running through the woods a lot of times. It was an intentional decision because if a kid was trying to chase them through the woods or run with them through the woods, they wouldn't be steady. Now, but that brings up a couple of questions. Does Maya blame her parents for her death? And is that why she's putting them through this groundhog day-like hell? Do you think Maya blames them for the death?
I mean, if that was my interpretation, sure, why not? I'll be honest with you. Like I said, I didn't interpret shit. Like, whatever this movie was trying to tell me, I didn't pick up on it. I want to say it's over my head, and we were just on two different fucking wavelengths. Spoiler alert, at the end of the fucking movie, you got to zoom out of the car, and you cut to that music box, and she's sitting there mm-hmm. playing that music box. So sure, why not? And it leads up to set that up perfectly, that she's making her parents go through this. I mean, that's pretty much the end setup. But at that point, I just didn't care.
Well, and you mentioned earlier that I think you said something about, did you have to run over the dog to break the time loop? I don't necessarily think they broke the time loop. I think the dog may have been what instigated them into the time loop to begin with. Because that was the first and only time at the very end of the movie that we see that particular dog alive. The rest of the time, it's dead. And by the way, Ziggy, there's two dogs, in case you're wondering. Because we're talking about a dog licking up piss and eating out a woman. That's another dog. But most of the time, this one character is carrying a dead white dog. And then we see the dog get hit at the end.
Oh.
Okay. Here's the thing. This is one of those films that a lot of people are going to claim to love and understand fully. Probably because they saw it at a film festival and they feel enlightened. Bullshit. Bullshit. go watch other reviews of this film from like 5 months ago or a year ago. Those people are going to rant and rave. Oh, it's such a good film. I love the symbolism. I love the themes. Now go and watch not just our review, which is shitting on it, other reviews like ours from just the last few days since this movie's come out, and they will shit on it. I guarantee you. But the ones that saw it in the film festival, oh, let me tell you exactly what this movie's about. Do not believe them. They're just pretentious fucks. I'm not trying to make up a interpretation of this film. That's truly what I got. Don't fall for the bullshit reviewers that are saying, oh, this movie just made me cream in my pants. No. Colonel, anything else said?
I didn't give this movie that much of a thought about until the symbolism or not. If maybe it was a better story and a better movie, I would have.
Technically, this film is crafted well. It looks fairly good. The naturalistic lighting is a nice touch. There's not a whole lot of over-abusive editing. The rest of it's just an allegorical mess that was created, I think, to make regular movie-going audiences feel dumb. Colonel, let's rate this bitch.
Ho, ho, ho. Coco D, Coco Da. Day, whatever. Day, Da. I know it's a super artistic fucking film. Not enough of a story there to fucking care. Dude, I gotta give it like a one. I wouldn't even say watch it. Yeah, literally, that's the number one I would give it. Maybe if I was Swedish and I understood a little more about the culture, maybe I'd feel a little different. However, I am not. Yeah. One. You get a one.
I can't give this one a one. I will say this. I enjoyed this a little bit more than I did Slacks. That's not saying much, but this was not the worst thing I'd seen this week. If that interpretation developed while watching this movie is the one that they intended, or if it's just a incidental one. Okay. Fairly clever. Execution bad. I'm going to give this one a 3. Coco D, Coco Day. 3 and a 1. And not available for comment.
I'll see it just because I want to see how I'll differ from what you guys said.
Oh, I would love to talk to you about this. I hope you come up with a different interpretation too.
I hope you get an interpretation from it. Because like I said, for me, it was so fucking stupid. I didn't care. I just did not fucking care. I just wanted to be over with.
I was curious if there was something there I could, you know, connect to.
I would have preferred the Swedish chef would have just shown up at some point during this movie and all over it. Coco D, Coco Day. It's available on Shudder now. Watch at your own fucking risk. This is one of those movies that is probably better with LSD. Let me know if that makes it better. I might start using drugs. Hey gang, we're back, and it's time for some more Stories Around the Campfire. All right, this time on Stories Around the Campfire, we got a chance to review another movie from Shudder. It's called Stay Out of the Fucking Attic. I love saying the title of this movie. I don't know why. I'm actually interested in this one. Colonel, start us off on this. What do you think of this film?
Stay Out of the Fucking Attic. Man, that based on the trailer, my hype for this movie, this is the fucking home run of the bunch for the Shudder movies we're going to review. Holy shit, I was so fucking hyped. So much fucking promise wasted. Oh my God, this movie could have been so much better than what it was. I did like this backstory for Joseph Mengele, how he was able to survive, because I even brought this up when we reviewed the trailer. Like, man, they're eventually going to stop doing this. World War II survivors are almost fucking gone.
Yeah.
But hey, we got a great way to explain how he's still alive and he's still able to do this. Man, it had all the makings to be really fucking good. They just couldn't execute it. I mean, hell, this motherfucker had a gas chamber in his fucking bathroom. Okay? This is the Nazi asshole you want to fucking hate. And you still hate him. I mean, they don't make him a likable character. But it's just, there's so much promise. You could have so many fucking experiments in this fucking massive-ass house. You get two.
Yeah.
Well, technically 3 or 4 by the end of the fucking movie.
Right.
Everybody's out of prison, second chance movers, and you find out the dude, you know, was a white supremacist because he had to protect himself in jail. And, you know, he turned a new fucking leaf, and, you know, he does kind of redeem himself. There's so much promise for this fucking movie, and they let me down so much. It could have been so much better.
How did it let you down? Explain that a little bit more.
Okay, the experiments. One didn't look great. I guess the guard dog, we'll call him. Yeah, he just didn't really make sense. And he had the non-conjoined twins in the attic, which we had to stay out of the fucking attic. They look good. I'll be honest, I did like that. They look all right. But it's like, man, they're just setting up this movie for so much. You literally have a cast of 5 people.
Yeah.
Not to maybe this extent, but I was expecting like some House of 1,000 Corpses, Dr. Satan shit, where you had all these fuckers down in the basement and all kinds of weird stuff going on. Dr. Satan! Ah, Dr. Satan! No, you literally just had a 100-year-old fucking Nazi.
Well,
that had to get the fuck out of town.
You do have people in the basement, but you That's don't true. Get to that point.
That's true, but they could. How fucking badass could they have been? Because I'm sure you guys watched all the way through the credits and caught that very end scene. Or it's like, oh, 5 experiments. Maybe 6 by the end of the fucking movie. The eyeball scene was fucking great. Still wasn't enough to, maybe it's my fault for overhyping this movie so much, thinking I could get so much more out of it. Because the title was fucking great. I was expecting a great film based on that, and the trailer looked fucking great.
Right.
Just too far in between cool shit. So much promise and such a letdown.
Fair enough. I enjoyed this one, man. I, especially after the other couple of hot messes that we've had to sit through this week, I like a good scary house tale. I like a good historically inspired storyline. There are a few minor bumps in the road creatively, but I thought this was a fun watch. I like the characters, even though they're basically very simple stereotypes that we've seen a million times before. But I thought the 3 main characters worked well together. The only one I really didn't like too much was Imani, because she was so over the top compared to the others, but it still worked. Ziggy, what'd you think of this one?
Unfortunately, I'm with Colonel on this one, because I too, you know, thought, okay, we got something here. If we do this right, this could be really good. Cast does work well together. I thought your girl and even the other cat a little bit, they're just kind of there for the one-liners, and you're right, she's so over the top. I would have loved to have seen white supremacist dude, you know, redeeming himself and everything. That's great, but expand on that, you know? That would have been so much better. This whole movie going into it had a people under the stairs kind of vibe, you know, with the house and everything. I was like, this is going to be cool, and they just do nothing with any of that. Yeah. You could have had some human centipede or hostile type depictions of gore here, and you did none of that. And I just feel like they missed the mark overall on it. Didn't enjoy it as much as I really wanted to.
Oh, man. Damn. We're just at odds with each other tonight. All around the board. Well, except for Coco D. Coco Day. Fuck that movie. Let's rate this one. Colonel, I think you start with this one.
So much potential. So just wasted. Great idea. Wasted. Still enjoyable. Still had some funny moments. Actually made me chuckle a little bit. Kept my interest. And then my interest started to wane towards the end. Like, because I knew exactly where the fuck it was going. I can't believe this. I am literally going to give this movie a 5. How the fuck did Stay Out of the Fucking Attic not become our top-ranked Shudder release for these reviews? How the fuck did Slacks come out as number 1?
Oh, no, for you.
For me. That's what I'm saying. For me, how in the fuck is this movie number 2? It was a clear winner. Like, this movie was going to be fucking amazing. Sure, home run. That's a fucking touchdown. That's a goal. All that. I have to give it a 5. Like, watch it, but it's average. I'm riding the fence. I got skid mark 2 with Zag because I'm right down the fucking middle. I can't lean one way or the other on this one. It's like 5.
You guys need to watch out for splinters, man. Those are going to get you too, right in the poop shooter. Ziggy, give it a rating.
What? Yeah, boy. I do think it's a little bit better than a 5, but not much. So let's just say 5.5.
You fence riding cocksuckers, man. I actually really enjoyed this movie. Like most of you guys know, I like the historical ties. There's not a whole lot of movies talk about Joseph Mengele as if he survived. And I appreciate the fact that they tried to do that. And I thought the storyline was okay enough. No, it's not blockbuster, you know, knock me out of my seat material. No, but I had a fun time with this. Much more fun than some of the other shit that we've had to sit through this week. So this one's going to get 6.5 from me. It's not great, but it's pretty fucking fun. So Stay Out of the Fucking Attic is available on Shudder now. You can go check it out and then come back and tell us what you think. We'd love to hear you on this one. Woo!
I'll be right back. Don't get dressed.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, holy.
Thanks for tuning in to the official Death Curse Society podcast, gang. Did you know we also have a website? Well, God damn it, we do. DeathCurseSociety.com. Get over there. Check it out. Look at all the stuff we've got. We've got all our YouTube episodes on there. We've got a membership program. We've got our store. You can buy some cool-ass shit. So get over there, DeathCurseSociety.com, and check it out. Woo!
Hey guys, welcome back to Stories Around the Campfire. We got another movie to talk about. Ooh, get ready. So, we had the chance to get a preview, woo, because we're big time now, not really, of Witness Infection, which drops on video on demand March 30th. And we're going to talk a little bit about it. Colonel, what were your thoughts on this one? This one seems right up your alley, I think.
It was. All right, I'm going to butcher his last name. That's okay. Carlos Alevrizaki. It doesn't matter, because you know why? I saw his name attached. I knew he was acting in the movie, as you know, the head of the mob family that we're focused on. I'm like, hell yeah, dude, he voiced Rocco from Rocco's Modern Life. That was one of my favorite cartoons, Nickelodeon cartoons growing up. Fucking Reno 911. Okay, we're going to have some humor. I saw that he co-wrote it. I'm like, fuck yeah, okay, I'm in. And they didn't disappoint with the jokes. This movie was funny for me. I can see why it wouldn't be funny for others, because there are a lot of fucking fart and shit jokes.
There are
a lot. You got these two mob families, I guess, in witness protection out in fucking California. Hey, you know, arranged marriage to bring the families together so they don't go to war. Tainted fucking sausages. And, you know, people were trying to survive the night. Uh-oh. It was a funny fucking movie. I enjoyed certain things, which we'll dig in deeper. Yeah. Zag, I'll just let you have it, buddy.
This movie is my kind of dumb. It's absolutely dumb, but the jokes that come at you, they're very simple, but they're rapid fire. Someone made this comparison before, The Dead Don't Die. It's definitely in that vein, but it's much less dry. It's funny, man. There's a lot of shit going on. It's basically, like Colonel said, you have an arranged marriage that's forced to happen between two modern mob families, and there's tainted Italian sausages everywhere that they're eating from Jersey. The sausages turn you into zombies. No one really knows that what's going on at first. Once you're infected, it affects your bowels quite a bit. I was shockingly entertaining for what they did. I was laughing the whole fucking time and was even treated to some pretty good gore in it along the way, which only helps. This director, directed a movie a year ago that we kind of shit on pretty good. We don't need to mention it, but I think he redeemed himself. I know he didn't write this one, but I'm still thinking he did a great job delivering on what this material was, and it's just a fun fucking movie. It's got your horror elements, but it's not really about that, man, and it's just a good ride.
I wanted to like this one more than I did. I still enjoyed it, don't get me wrong, but for some reason I was expecting a little bit more out of this one. Who wouldn't enjoy washed-up mobsters battling zombies? I mean, that's just a brilliant premise alone. As satire, this movie is great. The characters are themselves jokes. You know, making fun of the established mob culture from films, and each one plays off of that very well. Collectively, as a group, they're even better because then they're able to play off of each other. Their individual idiosyncrasies just pop when they're amongst the group. It works so well. The humor was on point. As I've stated before, some of this humor is just not my kind of humor. I don't mind a couple of fart jokes or shit jokes. But when half the movie is based on a shit joke, that's where you're going to start losing me. But I can see where you guys and other people will find this movie just hysterical. The only other major complaint I had about this film was the basis of the zombie outbreak itself. The fucking tainted sausages? That's what makes you a zombie? Like, just all of a sudden, out of the blue, that's what does it. Colonel, did you have a problem with that, or did that fit?
It fit this movie. It really did. Even the set, the opening scene, you got your fucking typical Italian Jersey guy in his fucking tracksuit and shit. You know, I can get used to this out here. And he's like, oh, eating this fucking sandwich and shit. I'm going to like this fucking movie. It made perfect sense, because what do Italians love to do? They love to eat, as most people do. They love to fucking eat. And they got some meat from Jersey back home. They were fucking pumped, man. And then when they explain why it was tainted, it's okay. It makes sense. We all know the zombie films are fucking saturated. It was just nice to get a breath of not so fresh air into this oversaturated fucking subgenre of fucking horror. Monsters and fucking zombies. I've seen it all. I did not see this. I was not disappointed.
Yeah, I can smell those sausages from here, man. They're just disgusting. Ziggy, was that a acceptable explanation for the zombie outbreak, though, for you?
The reason it's not what it's about.
Am I overthinking it, then?
This is not one that requires a whole lot of thought. Just, you know, go with the silly jokes and the, again, they're making fun of the whole mob culture, but the jokes are so good tied into it. The one brother is being forced to marry the girl from the other family who is dating his big brother, his own big brother. But the dad even says, yeah, he goes, your brother would handle this. We'd have already taken care of this. Everything would have been fine. But he's shooting blanks, fucking steroids, shit like that. And keeps nonstop machine gun fire jokes that, and the jokes themselves are so matter of fact. And on the point, they don't even react. There's no emotion to the delivery of the jokes. And that part is very much like The Dead Don't Die, but there's so much more to it than this one. It's much more satisfying zombie movie, if we're going to call it that, if it's in that vein. But the story is great here. It's just very funny. You know, there's some noticeable faces in it. It's cool to see a Belushi third generation getting into the act, and he carries it well. I thought he did good. I didn't know what to expect. I honestly was kind of set my bar low after watching, I have to admit, after seeing Andy Palmer was the guy behind the camera and his other movie, Camp Cold Brook. You know, Daniel Harris, we're huge fans, and we were all pretty much universally let down with that one. But fuck, here he comes, totally redeems himself with this one. I enjoyed the shit out of it. Had a great time.
I will say this again, more spoilers. I do like the fact that the outbreak is somewhat contained at the end. We don't ever see that in the zombie movie, or very seldom, I should say. And it seems like, you know, life is going to return to normal. And I thought that was an interesting touch. Granted, there's allusions to another outbreak occurring, but at the end, it seems like everything's fine again. Ziggy, was that a nice touch, or do you want just mass hysteria?
It's a detail that's not going to take or add really anything to the story. So, you know, it was fine. It was fine working out the way it did.
For one, I'm pretty impressed that he was able to find a cure within 2 weeks. Insanely fucking quick. And another zombie comedy movie I absolutely adore is Shaun of the Dead. And you get a pretty nice little bow put on the top of that one as well. So it really didn't add much to it, but it didn't bother me. It's like, oh, okay, we got a happy ending. I'm okay with that.
Let's get a number on this one. I think you're excited about it.
You know, like I said, this is one where I actually put the bar way low and was exceeded what I thought. I enjoyed it. I like the jokes. I want to watch it again because I'm sure I missed some stuff with my laughing. Seriously, I'm going to give it a solid 7.
All right. Witness Infections, you guys know I was pretty pumped for this movie, especially even after we've seen the trailer. I was like, I think I'm really going to like this one. It did not disappoint. Like I said, the humor's there. God damn, I love all the callbacks to all the fucking films, not just zombie films. You got gangster films thrown in there. It was fucking fabulous, man. It was great. I really didn't care for a lot of the CGI gore and blood. But that's my gripe for any movie nowadays. I understand it. That all being said, God damn it, I have to give it a 6.75. Just a little shy of a 7. I can't give it a full-blown 7.
We're going in quarters now? What the fuck, man? You're making it hard for me to squeeze into that little box in your corner.
Fine. All right, fine. Fuck it. 7.
All right, thanks.
Because I can't justify making it a 6.5.
Like I said, I wanted to like this more, but I still enjoyed the shit out of this. Humor is the biggest letdown for me, but some of it's really fucking good. It's just they rely too much on the fart jokes. And that's my major complaint in this movie. I would love to see more of this because I still think the premise of former mobsters battling zombies is amazing. I can't believe we haven't heard of anybody doing it before. And I'm glad somebody finally wrote it and finally put it on film. God damn it. I got to give this one a 7.2. So we've been arguing and bickering about these movies all day long. But in the end, we all agree on this one. Amazing.
Sum up the fart jokes. I got a Blazing Saddles going on over here.
That was funny. That was funny.
Hey, piped on over there, Margaret Snatcher. Telling you, man.
Oh, there's some good shit
in there, man.
Anyway, so that's our review of Witness Infection. It comes out March 30th on video on demand. So go out there, find this movie and rent it or buy it even. I'm pretty sure you will not be disappointed in this. Come back and let us know what you think afterwards. Welcome back to Stories Around the Campfire, gang. Wait, who's that creep over here? You stay over there. So we checked out the trailer for Creepshow's upcoming season 2, which drops on Shudder April 1st. Ooh, there's a couple of little nuggets in there, gang. Colonel, talk about the Creepshow trailer.
Woo! Just hearing Keith David talk the entire time was enough to give me a half a stub. All right? I've been looking forward to this. I enjoyed the first season. I really enjoyed the animated episode we got. I was a bit let down with the Christmas episode, but this gave me new hope. Granted, I'm a little disappointed that it comes out on opening day. It's kind of a big day in Cincinnati. Priorities. Creepshow's going to win because I know the Reds are going to finish fourth in the division at best. So it really doesn't matter. Creepshow all the way. I'm pumped.
I have heard that we're also going to get an episode that is kind of based around the creep. So that should be interesting. Ziggy, what were your thoughts on this trailer?
I wonder if we need an episode based around the creep.
I don't know.
I kind of like the mysteriousness of he's just around keeping the crypt and telling stories. What else do you need to know about him?
We all know his story, all right? Here's the story involving the creep. He's going to be a zombie from The Walking Dead.
I would not put him past that.
It does look a little better than the last season, I have to admit, based on the trailer, but the other trailer kind of left me all warm and fuzzy too. So I don't really know if we're going to get anything better. It was, as Colonel mentioned, great hearing Keith David ramble on in his classic tones. I just hope we get a little more, like I've said from the beginning, a little more creep show added to the creep show. That's all. Let's get a little bit more into that vein of that 82 fucking movie that we love. High hopes, but again, Colonel nailed it because that Christmas one we got is right in the midst of everything else getting created for season 2. So, oh man, that was kind of a shit.
I liked that Christmas one. I thought the Christmas one was kind of fun.
It's fun, but I mean, it was lacking in the creep show lore. The animation one was great. We love that. That was perfect. But, you know, hey, we got another creep show and we know we're getting a third one. So hopefully this one is just builds the base, the audience, and they give us something to cheer about. We'll all be there. I can't wait for it. I just hope I'm not disappointed.
I'm still expecting hit and miss episodes, just like the first season. Yeah, like you just said, that first time we got a trailer, we were all pumped. We were all excited. We got into the season and it was kind of like, up and down. Felt like they couldn't make up their mind. There were way too many, cooks in the kitchen, if you want to put it that way. Maybe that's what kind of dragged it down a little bit, but I'm still excited about it. I want to check it out. Another face that I saw in that trailer that had me kind of excited, and we've actually found out now that there is a kind of a throwback homage episode. Ted Raimi pops up in this trailer. He seems to be holding a very familiar book. It's only for a split second in the trailer, but he's got it. He's holding the Necronomicon. And from what I've heard, one of the first episodes that they are going to drop is called Public Television of the Dead, featuring Ted Raimi, where it seems like he goes on a kind of an antique roadshow kind of show with the Necronomicon to get it appraised. Like, oh, hey, how much is this worth? And Deadites invade. I cannot wait for that. I know you guys love the Evil Dead series. Ziggy, does that get you pumped up a little bit? Are you ready for that?
How could it not, man? I was kind of hoping that maybe that's just a little quick joke they're going to throw in and real slick. But I mean, if they did a whole episode and it's all going to be based around that, I think it could be a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. I just hope it does it justice, the Evil Dead world. And you know what I mean. You know what I mean.
Well, fuck yeah, I'm excited for it. I love The Evil Dead. Ted's like one of my favorite all-time C-list actors. I mean, he's so awesome, he didn't even need to be attached to the Screen Actors Guild anymore, and he still gets work. Fuck the establishment. But please, please, all I ask in this episode, I'm kind of zag on this one, don't be a motorist in Pittsburgh and fuck this up. We don't need that to happen.
Yeah, I'm just going to leave that there. I'm not going to touch that. But I will mention this. The last line in the trailer, did you guys catch that? Was that Keith David? Or was that a different voice when they say, all hail the king?
Do you think they would go to that extreme? I mean, he's friends with all those guys. And it's an episode about that. Would the fanboy universe collectively have an orgasm if that happens? And somehow Brucey makes an appearance? Oh, yes. I think that's probably by design that it went that way. But that would be a fun little Easter egg, little treat. I don't think he'll be a huge part of it if he is.
At the most, I think it would be like a cameo at the very end. And he just kind of walks in, says a signature line, cut to black, roll credits. That's what I would see if Bruce Campbell were to show up as our good friend, Ash Williams.
Maybe he'll be like the old man in Pawn Stars in the back, you know, at the desk going, can only give you 79 cents for that book. I'm sorry. It's the best I can do.
All I can give you is a couple of shotgun shells for that book. Yeah. Get the fuck out of here.
We have some chainsaw oil I'll throw in. That's all.
Another thing I noticed about the trailer is it looks like they've gotten a little bit more of a budget this time around. That should help, hopefully, with the more practical effects and things of that sort.
No more basket case claymation, please.
Oh, my God. That was rough. Yeah. But do you think a bigger budget for season two will help them this time around?
Yes. As predicted, we said after the rousing success of the first season, albeit as hit or miss as it was, we knew it was going to get a bigger budget, and we're just going to see the results of that now. Now, hopefully they did it right and spent the money in the right places. You just got to make it more Creepshow.
It can help. It can make it look better. I'm not saying that season one looked terrible, but then there were some stories that looked great. And other ones are the little finger that grew looked like shit. Man, I don't know if that budget's going to help with better script writing.
Any final thoughts, Colonel? Are you going to rewatch season one before we get into season two on April 1st?
Probably not, but only because I rewatched season one just a few months ago. It's still pretty fresh in my mind.
Coming to Shudder, April 1st, Creepshow season two from executive producer Greg Nicotero. How many reasons do you need to get Shudder? We keep telling you this every week, and we're not paid by Shudder to do this yet. But go get Shudder. Tell them the Death Curse Society sent you, and check out Creepshow coming April 1st. Woo! Pay us, Shudder.
At least give us free subscriptions. Shit.
Give me my motherfucking check. Welcome back to Death Curse Society and yet another story around the campfire. This time on Stories Around the Campfire, there's a little bit of news brewing about Texas Chainsaw Massacre, a sequel to the original film alone, not tying any of the other films together, from Fede Alvarez, producer. And we've got some casting news we're going to talk about. Sally Hardesty returns in this. Now, granted, not played by Marilyn Burns, but now going to be played by Olwen Fjor. I hope I said her name right. Colonel, you're a huge fan of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the original, I think.
So here we are with another Texas Chainsaw sequel. Fingers crossed it's good, gentlemen. Fingers crossed. So we know the Texas Chainsaw franchise has not been treated well as far as sequels go. Looks like we had another direct sequel to the first one, which we had with Texas Chainsaw 3D. Supposed to take place in like the 90s, but then you get like a smartphone studio decision, ruin that fucking movie forever for me. We're getting Sally back some way, shape, or form. That has me pretty excited. Granted, obviously, it's not the original actress, rest in peace. You got old man Leatherface, not the original actor, Gunnar Hansen, rest in peace. Oh shit, Toby Hooper can't put his input in it, rest in peace. This is how old of a movie we're talking about for a direct sequel, man. So that's why I'm a little iffy, but I'm really hoping they pull it off. I know we'll get into the casting here in a little bit, but I'm just going to slap myself on the wrist for not being as caught up in the pop culture world as I probably should be. To me, I'm going to, hey, hell yeah, this is a bunch of unknowns for this guy. So I have no expectations on their acting skills. Alvarez did a great job with his reboot of Evil Dead. With his hands in this one, I at least think it has a fighting chance. It has a puncher's chance of being really good. That's just all I'm hoping for at this point. That's all I can say, because everything else is just...
Yeah. Well, and Colonel brought up Old Man Leatherface is going to be played by Mark Burnham. I believe he's acted in Snowfall before. Ziggy, I know nothing about these people. Doesn't sound like Colonel knows anything about these people. Do you?
You guys are lame, man. Clearly, these guys are... No, I don't know shit about any of them. None. But here's the thing. We've kind of been groomed into this world now where our senior citizen serial killers are acceptable and applicable now. They actually work. You know, Michael Myers is there. We know Jason's up there now. Texas Chainsaw Massacre has been churning out sequels. This isn't the first time they've rebooted it. You know, Colonel stole all the thunder on it already, but it's fine. This one, same thing. Fede Alvarez did a commendable job with The Evil Dead. If given the freedom he had on that, which I doubt he will have, this could actually deliver as well. I'm not excited about it because I've been let down. There's just very few things that you can really grasp onto from the other Texas Chainsaw sequels, outside of two for me, that are even worthy of remembering. So I appreciate that they're bringing back old characters and old storylines like that, but just do it right. It's hard. We were referencing Halloween 2018 so much, but now the more we watch it, we're kind of like, fuck, this isn't as cool as it really was when it first came out, you know? So it's right there, man. It's walking that blade. It's right on the edge. Could be cool. Could be a shithole, another just one for the fire, as they would say, in Night of the Living Dead.
Well, you brought up Halloween 2018 and how this one is kind of doing the same thing, just a direct sequel to the original movie, disregarding everything else, kind of an old man killer in Leatherface, because it's going to be 50 years after, almost 50 years after the events of the original. Now, my question is Sally Hardesty going to go the route that Laurie Strode went in Halloween 2018 with the PTSD? Is she going to be a fighter when she comes back? Is she going to be like the Sarah Connor, you know? Is that the route they're going with this? Or do you think something different, Ziggy?
Boy, I hope not. That would just be way too cliche and mix the formula a bit, man. You don't need to stick exactly to what other movies have done. She needs to be consulted just to relive her experience again. Someone is making a podcast or a book or something. Whoops. Borrowed another formula. I do like the idea of revisiting and keeping it in the family, so to speak, with the original movie. I don't know how you present her in this new one. I really don't know. I'm going to leave it totally up to them and hope they impress me. I did really dig in Evil Dead, the drug addict angle they added to it, because it made her less credible when she started to freak out when the fucking demons showed up. Dazzle me like that somehow. I don't know how you'll do it, but I'm watching and I'm ready for it.
How about you, Colonel? You think that's might be the route they're going to take, or hoping for something completely different?
I'm hoping for something completely different, because as we all remember, Sally at the end of Texas Chainsaw Massacre lost her fucking mind. So yeah, PTSD out the ass for this one. Okay. I hope they don't go that Laurie route. It worked for Halloween. I don't think it can work for Texas Chainsaw. It can't. Man, you're talking 70 plus for these characters now. Maybe she's consulted, not even for a podcast. Like these people are like, oh, we need help with who all of a sudden Sally survived. She's in this nursing fucking home somewhere, deep in the heart of fucking Texas.
The stars at night are big and bright.
Deep in the heart of Texas.
Something. I just don't want a Laurie Strode ripoff. I really don't. What does the music industry and the film industry love? Cookie cutter projects. That's what I'm terrified of. Here's a formula that works. Fuck it. We'll copy and paste it into our movie and people are going to love it.
That's what I'm worried about. I'm petrified that that's where they're going to go. I'm hoping they don't. And it's not because I don't want to see a strong female character. Before any of you get riled up or something, that's not what I'm saying. All I'm saying is find a different angle to do it. She can still be strong. She can still be a powerful character. I want her to be tough by now, but find a different way to do it. That's all I'm saying.
Well, do we know exact, is it going to be 2121, the year?
It's supposed to be modern day.
Okay. they've earned the right to tell the story on the merits of Evil Dead, in my opinion.
Fair enough. Well, the Fede Alvarez-produced version of Texas Chainsaw Massacre comes out later this year, along with his other movie that he's got coming out, Don't Breathe 2 with Stephen Lang, which we'll be talking about later on. Stay tuned. If we get some more news, we'll let you know. Texas Chainsaw Massacre, let us know what you think about a reboot coming.